This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we move further in the Psalter, picking up with Psalms 103 and 104. As a father, his kingdom rules over all, clothed with splendor and majesty, wine to gladden, and I will sing while I have being. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
This is the day which the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad.
From the rising of the sun to its setting,
the name of the Lord is to be praised.
Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. Make me to know your ways, O Lord.
Teach me your paths.
Sanctify us in your truth.
Your word is truth.
From the rising of the sun to its setting,
the name of the Lord is to be praised.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever.
A reading from Matthew, chapter 28. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. You shall have no other gods.
You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife.
I believe in
God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to
The Small Catechism, page 325. What is baptism?
Baptism is not just plain water, but it is the water included in God's command and combined with God's word.
Which is that word of God?
Christ our Lord says in the last chapter of Matthew, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we just said it, baptism is water included in God's command. And are you so familiar with the text that you say, well, yeah, that's the catechism, or do you still kind of stumble there? When you hear baptism is water included in God's command, we're so big on baptism as a means of grace. So why doesn't Luther use another word, like baptism is water included in God's promise? That sounds far more evangelical than baptism is included in God's command. And then you read Luther in the Large Catechism, and not only he repeats that language and is very adamant about that, baptism is commanded, but then he also uses the word ordinance. Baptism is God's ordinance. And if you have been a Baptist, you might feel some flashbacks. Isn't that what we heard there? Command, ordinance. You thought you had escaped that language? Well, you haven't. So, why does Luther talk like that? Well, the reason is pretty simple, right? We heard it in the reading. Indeed, baptism is commanded. The risen Christ, calling the 11 disciples together, commands them, tells them to baptize. And baptism as an ordinance? Well, Christ orders what is to be done. That's why it is God's ordinance. It's not up to us. Jesus doesn't say, well, do something. Invent something. I trust you, you're creative. No, he's pretty explicit what the disciples are to do. Baptize them, and of course there's already the first difficulty because that's a church language word, so we just use the word from the Latin that comes from the Greek, we just transliterate it, but of course it means applying water, more to that later. So why the emphasis on the command? Well, the emphasis on the command is that it is not optional. And it is not some kind of an idea that we create. And that baptism is important enough that the risen Christ, in the time he has with the disciples, institutes it, talks to it with the disciples. Luther emphasizes it because in his time he says there is a great devaluation of baptism. People don't think about baptism highly, and he sees it all around. He sees it with his context, his former context, monasticism, where, well, what really makes you a disciple? That is, when are you a full-blown Christian? What's the ideal? Well, it's monasticism. That's when you are a real disciple. And on the other hand, he sees the Anabaptists. And they look at baptism and say, baptism. What's baptism? Just sprinkling of water. Anybody can be baptized. What makes you a real disciple? Can't be baptism. Look at all these people. They're baptized, but they're not real disciples. It must be something else. And against all that, Luther says, no. Don't despise baptism. Don't think lightly of it. Christ himself orders it. Christ himself commands it. So even if you don't understand why, at least have the decency to give God the benefit of the doubt. The misgivings that the word command arises comes from the fear that baptism is turned into a work of obedience. As if a person would say, I am getting myself baptized. There's even though there's kind of the passive voice in there, who's the agent? I am getting baptized. But the very act of baptism speaks against that. Because unlike all the washings in the Old Testament or also in the Judaism at the time of Jesus, with one exception of the baptism of John, all these are washings where, yes, the person washes himself or herself. Unlike the washings and immersions there and also in many other religions, here the one who undergoes the washing, the immersion, is not the one who acts. He is acted upon. And think of it, the command that Jesus gives is to baptize, not to get baptized. The command is first and foremost to the disciples, to the church. True, the church, as long as she is faithful to her Lord, never forced anybody to be baptized. Rather, it was always the preaching that called people to baptism. The preaching was to be baptized, receive baptism. And so only those whom God had given the desire to be baptized were baptized. But they were baptized. They received baptism. They didn't baptize themselves. And then against those who think that baptism is somehow our work, I think the rite itself is a good argument against that. Because if you think of baptism as, oh, this shows my obedience to God, my truly commitment after I have become a true Christian, isn't that kind of strange? Showing your true commitment, your true conversion by what? Not by some impressive work. All the things you give up now that you are a Christian. All the time you will spend now in the service of the Lord or meditating on the scriptures. All the money you're giving away. The fortitude you have in enduring persecution and scorn. I mean, this is all pretty impressive stuff if you think showing, demonstrating your commitment to Christ. But getting baptized? Isn't that a little bit too easy a work? How does that show your commitment? That's the Anabaptists are right. Anybody seems to be able to do that. Just word spoken, water applied, takes less than a minute. This is this work, this great work? No. But you might now say, well, didn't you say just too much here? If it's not that impressive as a work of man, why should it be that impressive as a work of God? Don't we run into the same issues? It is, after all, just a bit of water and some words. And among Lutherans, you don't even get the dramatic symbolism that the baptismal candidate is to plunge into the water and then rises out. Just mostly sprinkling, that's all. It really is just the sprinkling and a sentence. So why is it a big deal? Well, it is a big deal, not because of it is such a powerful symbolic rite, because it really isn't. But the importance of baptism is not in its symbolism. It lies in that fact that it is not mere water, but it is water included in God's command and combined with God's word. That's why it is such a big deal, because of these words that are combined with water. So the combination of water and God's word makes it so special and important. And what are these words? We recited them. Baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So yes, baptize them. And it's not, of course, does not mean immersion. It means applying water. If it is immersed, poured, or sprinkled, that's a matter. Baptism is not only compared with the rising and dying in Romans 6. We'll talk about that more in later sermons. But it's also a washing, and a washing is an application of water. And of course, our favorite passage, the Pharisees who baptize dining couches. There you have it, Baptists, right? Okay, so then come these words that this application of water is done in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now this shows first, of course, that this baptizing is not done by human authority, but by the authority of the triune God. It's not a human invention. No, God, the triune God, ordered it. And more so, it is the triune God who is really acting in baptism. The man who baptizes is just an instrument of God. But God is the one who does it. And what does it? What does he? Well, you become a disciple. That's what why Jesus instituted baptism. It's part of that making disciples. So Christ sends out his disciples to make disciples of all nations, baptizing and teaching. And that means when somebody is baptized, God says, "You are my disciple." God calls this person to be his own. And of course, that's not only that God says, "You are my disciple." But what's the correlative to disciple? You could say master, teacher, Lord. God gives himself as their Lord. The name Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is God's holy name from eternity. But this name also tells the story, what God has done and now gives to man, to his disciples. It tells the story of the Father who has sent the Son into the world to redeem a lost humanity from its sin. It tells the story of the Son who became man to save us. It tells the story of the Holy Spirit who is sent by the Father and the Son so that these disciples may believe and that their faith is sustained and that they are sanctified. In baptism, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit claim the one who is baptized as their own and give themselves and all treasures of redemption to the one baptized. Yes, baptism looks as if it's just a bit of water and a few words. But when you turn your attention to these words of God, the command which includes the water, and the Word of God combined with the waters, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, then you see the triune God at work, making disciples, giving them riches far greater than what any billionaire has. And that's why it's a big deal, even though it doesn't look like a big deal. That's when you think about what it means to be a disciple of Jesus, don't first think about all the great things you do, that you have done and you will do. Think about your baptism. You are a disciple of Christ because he has made you a disciple through baptism, for you have received all the treasures that the triune God has to give to you. So it's a big deal. And it's appropriate to thank and praise God every day that he has made you a disciple in your baptism. Amen.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the gift of divine peace and of pardon, with all our heart and with all our mind, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the Holy Christian Church, herein scattered throughout the world, and for the proclamation of the gospel and the calling of all to faith, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this nation, for our cities and communities, and for the common welfare of us all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For seasonable weather and for the fruitfulness of the earth, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who labor, for those whose work is difficult or dangerous, and for all who travel, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all those in need, for the hungry and homeless, for the widowed and orphaned, and for all those in prison, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the sick and dying, and for all those who care for them, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Finally, for all these and for all our needs of body and soul, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
Almighty God, you know we live in the midst of so many dangers that in our frailty we cannot stand upright. Grant strength and protection to those to support us in all dangers and carry us through all temptations. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Blessed Lord, you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and take them to heart, that by the patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
I thank you,
my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger. And I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings in life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body, soul, and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Almighty and merciful Lord, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless and preserve us.
Amen.